This is Ashley Hodge with the Sikkim 365 podcast. I'm coming to you after Baylor's 73-68 loss to Kansas today in Waco. Let's talk about this game. First of all, our hearts, our prayers go out to Tristan Clark. Terrible news right before tip-off. He had a knee injury that resulted in surgery, and it's going to be season-ending. So you take away one of the best post players, not only in the Big 12, but certainly the whole country, and Baylor's really fighting an uphill battle going forward. And they're going to really have to make some roster adjustments with the loss of Tristan Clark, who had just been terrific up until the Iowa State game. He played great in the Iowa State game. He injured his knee in the first half of the Iowa State game, came to practice on Wednesday after that game, had some soreness in the knee. They got it looked at, and then obviously the diagnosis wasn't good. So Baylor has to make some big adjustments, and Kansas was the first game where they went with a smaller lineup. They inserted Jared Butler into the lineup for Tristan Clark. He played terrific. I think if we can look at anything that came out of this game, we're looking at a bright young prospect at guard. He had 14 points. He was 4-for-8 from three-point range. He had 4 assists. He had a steal. I thought he played under control. He did have 3 turnovers. But overall, just a really good game from Jared Butler. Some of the positives that we take away from this game is Baylor just dominated the rebounding edge like they did against Arizona earlier this year when they were able to get a road win against Arizona. They had a 49-30 advantage on the boards, which is just terrific. They had 26 offensive rebounds. A lot of that was because they missed a whole lot of shots. They took 31 more shots than Kansas did, or maybe the number's 30. I can't do the stats in my head quickly here, but they took a lot more shots than Kansas, and they got a lot of offensive rebounds as a result. So you love the effort on the glass. Kansas blocked 11 shots. Baylor turned it over 14 times, so did Kansas. And this game played out a lot like the TCU game in a sense because Kansas was able to build an 18-20 point lead, and I think they had close to 20-point edge at the 4-minute mark, and then Baylor went on one of their furious late-game rallies like they often do. This team never quits, and they were able to cut the score to 4 points on a Devontae Bandu 3-pointer, and then the final margin ended up being 5. They certainly made it interesting at the end of the game. I thought there was some 5-second calls that definitely could have been called by the officials near the end of the game. Kansas was having a lot of trouble inbounding the ball, but those calls were never made. Kansas seemed to have an endless supply of timeouts, and they called many of them at the end of regulation, the end of the game, I should say. And so that's kind of how that went down. Yeah, I thought the defense was not as good as we've seen. Kansas shot the ball really well. They were 54% from the field. They were 56% from three-point range, 9-for-16. Legarrell Vick being the one that they just lost him too many times. He got too many good looks at the basket, 6-for-8 from three. And that was really the difference in the game. Ultimately, Jared Butler had a pretty good game shooting the ball. Devontae Bandu made a couple threes late in the game. But when the game was on the line, we were throwing up bricks from three-point range, 9-for-31 for the game, 29%. Got to do a lot better than that, especially removing our primary low post target in Tristan Clark. As far as Kansas performances, Dedrick Lawson played like a player of the year candidate today. He had 17 points. He did have 4 turnovers. He had 5 blocks, 5 steals. He only had 3 rebounds, but he did a great job with getting steals and also certainly blocking a lot of shots. He's a really impressive player up close. He is able to score in tight windows of space and does a really good job with his body control around the basket. I was pretty impressed with what I saw from him. And then, of course, Vic has not been shooting the ball well at all the last month, I would say, but he broke out of his slump and had a really terrific game from three-point range. He did have 4 turnovers. He's pretty shaky defensively and didn't do much other than get those 6 three-pointers, but those 6 three-pointers were huge for them. this guy that they just pulled the red shirt off, Okai Egbuaje, I guess that's how you pronounce his name. Man, he really killed us. He was he had 10 points, 3 for 3 from the field, 1 for 2 from 3, and had some 3 rebounds and a steal as well. So he looks to me like a better guard than some of the guys they have. You know, Marcus Garrett's a really good defender, but can't give you much offense. Quentin Grimes is pretty inconsistent on the offensive end. And then Devon Dotson is really fast, played a really good game today. But I think that Egbuaje is going to help them a lot the rest of this year. So I don't know what else to talk about. I would just say that it was disappointing. I think the air kind of came out of the gym when we heard the news about Tristan. But you got to love the fight that this team had. You know, I think this is going to be a gap year. It's going to be a year where we really look to the future because we know that two of our better players, perhaps our two best players, are sitting out this year. Davion Mitchell, transfer from Auburn. Macy Oteague, transfer from UNC Asheville. That's going to be a terrific backcourt combination. And having Jared Butler get a lot of minutes and develop really bodes well for the future. And I think it's going to give a lot more playing time to guys like Flo Thamba, Matthew Meyer. And it's going to be really instrumental in the development of Mark Vidal and Mario Kegler as well. Mario just continues to struggle offensively. Mario today, he had only five points. He was 1 for 4 from three-point range. Only got to the line one time, missed his free throw. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, 2 steals. Does some really good things defensively. But it's difficult to play him and Vidal together when they just don't give you the type of offense that you need to have. You know, both of them just really struggle shooting the ball from the outside. And Mark Vidal today was 0 for 4 from the free throw line, which certainly didn't help. So in Bill Self's last game in the Farrell Center, it was another loss. Kansas has really done well in the Farrell Center in past years. You know, I'm not going to say too much about the officiating other than I wasn't too happy with Chris Rastatter, a referee that refs a lot of the Pac-12 games. And I thought, you know, he swallowed his whistle or didn't make the right call early in the game. But I thought overall it was a fairly officiated game. And, you know, certainly not all Baylor-Kansas games have been that way. So I don't think, you know, Baylor got the raw end of the deal on the officiating today. I think it was just a matter of Kansas's talent. And, you know, we're seeing through the FBI trial how they're acquiring some of this talent. But it was just far superior to Baylor's. And, you know, what the future holds for Bill Self, who knows. But this is probably his last game that you'll see him in Farrell. So hopefully you appreciated that and got to see. You can say, you know, I know where I was when Bill Self coached his last game at the Farrell Center. So I'm going to sign off for tonight. This has been a Sikkim 365 podcast. We'll come to you after the Oklahoma State game, and hopefully we'll have some good things to talk about. Oklahoma State's coming off a really big win on the road at West Virginia. That's a tough place to win. I think I just briefly checked the box score, but no Kanate again. He may be out for the season. Who knows what's going on with him? And also, no Issa Ahmad, which is, you know, those are two of the probably the two best players for West Virginia. So those are tough losses to overcome there. And then Oklahoma won by 2 against TCU. Texas lost at home to perhaps their future coach, Chris Beard. It's no secret that Chris Beard covets that Texas job and would probably leave Texas Tech in a heartbeat to coach at Texas. And certainly with the struggles that Shaka Smart's had, that's not an inconceivable outcome. You know, that could be a move that Texas wants to make at the end of the year. And who am I missing? Let's see. Iowa State lost to Kansas State by 1 point. Iowa State had a chance to put some distance there at the free throw line. Wigington missed a foul shot, and Barry Brown was able to drive the length of the floor and get a bucket to give Kansas State a really key road victory. I think I've covered the Big 12 there. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So Oklahoma State on tap Monday night, and that's a road game. We'll see how the Bears do, and we will discuss their performance after the game. You've been listening to a Sikkim 365 podcast with Ashley Hodge.